Let's stand together and read a few verses here this morning, Romans chapter 6, and beginning there in verse number 1. We're sure glad you're here with us today, and thank you, every one of you, for being here. We pray that the service is a blessing to your heart. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 says this: "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we then that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" You understand we're saved by grace. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man shall boast." We can only be saved by grace through putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is a wonderful thing. The grace of God is amazing. Somebody did an acrostic for grace and said, "God's riches at Christ's expense." We receive God's riches at Christ's expense. He died on the cross for us so that we could be saved. And what a blessing we can have to know the Lord and be saved and have eternal life and a home in heaven. And grace is a wonderful thing. But it talks about that grace. You know, God in His grace, He is willing to save us. In His mercy, He's willing to spare us from sin. He's willing to spare us from hell and God's judgment. By His grace, He's willing to give us a home in heaven. And that's all grace, but great and wonderful. But He says there, because of grace, should we just continue in sin? You know, if we have God's grace and God's mercy and God, so on, that God is a God who's willing to forgive us of our sin and save us and make us a child. Does that mean that I can just go on now that I'm saved and just live a life in sinfulness? And hey, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Live it up. That's not at all what it means. He says there in Romans 6, God forbid, we're not to take advantage of the grace of God. God's grace will save us and it will forgive us of our sins. God will forgive us, but He wants us to live a new life. He wants us to live a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get there. Verse number 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Walk in newness of life. And it's that expression there that I really want to focus on this morning. We've been preaching and learning several lessons in recent months about learning how to walk. And this morning, I want to preach to you about walking in newness of life. There is a new life that we're supposed to live when we get saved. There's a new life that we're to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're God's children, we'll be different. We'll be different. We're part of the family of God. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the many blessings we have in this life because of You. We thank You for salvation. Thank You for being willing to love us and make us Your children. And probably many here today could give a testimony of being saved, knowing the Lord, having been born again. If someone does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I pray that You'd touch their heart and convict them, that they would see their need for Jesus Christ in their life, and that they must be born again, they must be saved, and help them in seeking the truth, letting someone else share the truth with them, helping them in making that decision, Lord. May we not just let it go, may we get things settled in our life. And Father, help those that are saved to realize that there's a very different life God wants us to live. When Christ comes in, when the Spirit of God moves inside of us, all things need to be changed. There is a new life for us to live. There's a new way for us to walk. There's a new way for us to talk. There's a new way for us to act, a new way for us to think, a new way for us to behave. Father, help us to walk in newness of life. I pray, Spirit of God, that You'd convict us by Your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated there. The message is kind of disorganized this morning. It's a lot of scribbles on a piece of paper and some things and verses that I was studying. But we're just going to go to several scriptures this morning and try to look at what the scriptures say about how we can walk in newness of life. The end of verse 4, that he said, "Even so we also should walk in newness of life." Walk in newness of life. Let's go back to Colossians, if you would, further in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10 is what we'll read. Let's even go back to verse number 5, begin there. It says mortify. The word mortify, you think of a mortician, right? A mortician that deals with dead bodies and so on. It's talking about putting to death. And mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Thank God that when you get saved, you're spared from the wrath of God. We're spared from the wrath of God. And John chapter 3 and verse 36 and so on talks about that, how believing we can be saved, we can be saved from the wrath of God and so on. He says in verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You know, there's going to be a way you walk and a way you live when you're not saved. You know what? It's just going to be natural then to do the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh if you're not saved. Why? Because all we are is flesh. All we have is that sinful nature. When a person gets saved, that's when the change is supposed to begin and occur. What happens? The Spirit of God comes to live inside your spirit. No longer then are you just a flesh nature, but you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you, and now you have a spiritual nature. And the Apostle Paul talked in Romans chapter 8 about how there will be a battle between the flesh nature and the spiritual nature. We're taught in Romans, we're taught in Galatians and so on, how we are to walk in the Spirit. We're to be controlled by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, before we get saved, there'll be a way of walking. There'll be a way of living. We'll walk in the works of the flesh. That'll be what's natural. But when we get saved, there is supposed to be a new way of walking. There's supposed to be a new way of living because now we have God in us. It says verse 7, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now that you're saved and so on, but now ye also put off all these. There are some things that need to be taken off. There are some things that need to be put off. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, there's some ways that we're not to behave, some ways we're not supposed to act. Filthy communication and evil talking and dirty talking and so on. That wouldn't be the way of a Christian. That wouldn't be the way of a believer. You know what? It could be in a workplace that, you know what, you work around maybe a group of men or even a group of ladies where what if they do talk about filthy things? What if they do talk about dirty things? And what if it was in your past that, you know what, for you to just enter into that conversation or to listen in that conversation or to talk in that conversation would have been very normal. But he says, now that you're saved, you put off filthy communication. It ought to be that if you you are in a workplace where there's unsaved people, if there's filthy talk, if there's going to be dirty talk, you stay away from that. Maybe you need to be a testimony to them and say, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm a Christian now. I've gotten saved and my life's been changed and I don't want to listen to those sort of things and I don't want to talk about those sort of things anymore. And even that can be a testimony to them of your faith in Christ. But there are some things we need to put off. He says, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, talking about the old sinful flesh nature, the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. God wants to make us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfectly like him, and neither are you. Neither are you. We will not be perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ until we get to heaven. It is a sanctifying work where he's working on us and he's changing us and he's trying to make us, he's predestined us to be conformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And he wants to work on you and he wants to work on me and he wants to maybe chip away some things. He wants us to put off that old man, put off some things of our sinful flesh nature and just put on the new man. We're to be renewed in our mind, renewed in our thinking. One of the things that really ought to be changed if you're walking in newness of life is that you'll have a new way of thinking, a new perspective on life. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Says Philippians 2 and verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, continues to talk about Christ and the example of being a servant. Can I tell you something? That way of thinking, that mind, that mind of Christ, that's totally different than the mind that the person will have when they're unsaved. Listen, the mind and sometimes the attitude of people in this world is really, who do we put first in life? Ourselves. Who do we watch out for? Ourselves. Who do we want to make sure that everything's always good for? Ourselves. We're always looking out for number one. That's the attitude. That's the mentality. That's the thinking of this world. But you know what? When we get changed, everything about our attitude and thinking is supposed to change. Then in my marriage, it's not just, well, what's my wife doing for me? Or how's she taking care of me? Or is she treating me right? It's, am I treating her right? Am I serving her? Am I doing what I ought to be a good husband? And vice versa, wife to husband and so on, or parents to children and so on, and in relationships and in the workplace and so on. So often we're concerned with what's good for me. Now, in the workplace, the people are always concerned with, what is the work doing for me? Am I getting the pay that I deserve? Am I getting all the benefits that I deserve? Is everything fair for me? And some of you might not like this, but that's really how unions and so on came all into being. Just how unions have become such an overriding thing, because we've got our rights. We deserve so much. We better be well compensated. If not, we're going to fight for it. We're going to strike for it. I better be fairly compensated. It really is all came from originally a selfish attitude. Everything better be good for me. Everything about the workplace. Listen, we're one day going to enter into a world where people don't even want to work 5 days a week. If things could be changed where you only work 4 days a week or 3 days a week and keep the same pay. Hey, it's part of the mentality of taking care of ourselves. Have you ever thought in your workplace, am I giving fair work for my pay? And everybody wants fair pay for the work they do. Are you giving an honest day's work? Are you giving your best in your workplace to help that company be successful or help your employer be successful and so on? Listen, things will change. Our mentality when we get saved and our thinking will not just be everybody taking care of me, but how can I serve my children? How can I serve my wife? How can I serve my husband? How can I serve my friends? How can I serve others in the church? How can my life be a blessing to others? There'll be a different mentality, a different way of thinking if you're walking in that new life. If you're letting Christ change you, if you're being made into the image of Christ, if you're taking on the mind of Christ and the character of Christ and so on, you'll be different. Your thinking, you'll have a new way of thinking in your life. We're to put off the old man, we're to put on the new man. The Bible says, turn with me over to Ephesians. You're very close there in Philippians. Turn back just a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a few small books in there, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and should find that easily just by turning a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Some of the verses we read in Sunday school this morning. Isn't it? Lowliness and meekness. Isn't that so anti? That's so really opposite, really, of the way the world is becoming. Think of lowliness and meekness. This world's not about making ourselves lowly. The world's about, how can I lift myself up? How can I make myself look good? How can I get myself to the top? Not about being humble. Not about being meek, not about serving others, but he says with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another. Look down at verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, or from henceforth, from this point on, from here and forward and so on, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That means the former lifestyle, the former way of living. I mean the way that you lived before you got saved, the way that you lived before you knew the Lord, the way you lived before you were born again, before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're to put that off. You're to put that off. It says in that ye, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, this old sinful flesh nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, you can't come up with any other conclusion in the Bible except that God wants us to live a righteous life. God wants us to live a holy life. God said, be holy even as I am holy. Again, as I said back in the beginning, sometimes people think, well, I've got grace. That means I've got liberty. I can live however I want with my life. And praise the Lord, it's all under the blood. It doesn't really matter how I live. It does matter how we live. By God's grace, he saves us so that we can live for him. Our lives are to please him and to glorify him and honor him. And he wants us to live a righteous and a holy life. The book of Titus teaching us that denying ungodliness, we're to live a godly life and a holy life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be made like him. He says, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're to be honest. If we're walking in newness of life, we're to be honest. It says, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means that when you maybe have had a disagreement, you maybe have had, maybe your husband did say something that hurt you. Maybe your husband did say something that offended you. And rather than going to bed angry at night, rather than going to bed and letting your anger turn into bitterness, rather than harboring bad feelings in your heart towards your husband or towards your wife or towards someone else, it says, you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You make sure that things are made right before you go to bed at night. Don't let it go. Don't let it go where we become bitter in our heart and we maybe want to plot out a way for how can I get even? How can I hurt them? We can't hold a grudge. We can't be bitter against them. He says, you put that away. Put that away. Remember, we're members one of another. He says, neither give place to the devil. And can I tell you something? When we do let ourselves go and we become bitter, we're giving place to the devil. We're giving a foothold to the devil. It's almost like we've opened the door up a crack where we're going to let him have a place to kind of get in and maybe cause some division between you as a husband and a wife. Or maybe between you and a friend. Maybe between you and another Christian. Maybe between you and another church member. And listen, you can't let things go where the devil has gotten a foothold in there and a relationship is being divided just because you won't forgive or you're bitter or you're holding a grudge against somebody. Things need to be made right. And if we're a Christian and we're walking in the newness of life that God wants us to, we will make things right. Whether we've hurt someone, whether someone's hurt us, we will make things right. He says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That's good. And maybe the way before he got saved was to steal. He says, steal no more. Steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Our speech ought to be different. The way we talk to people, the way we treat people, all of that ought to be different if you're walking in newness of life. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Notice this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a good reason for us to be different. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you know why God is so willing to forgive us? It's because you're such a good person, isn't it? No, that's not why. It's for Christ's sake. It's not because we're good. It's not because we deserve it. If we got what we deserve, we'd be punished for eternity, the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that. God is willing to forgive us because His Son, Jesus Christ, left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for us. He took the punishment for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. And God is willing to forgive us for Christ's sake. Hey, if God was willing to forgive us, shouldn't we be willing to forgive others? Jesus taught that in the book of Matthew. Every time we feel like, you know, you don't want to forgive your parents because of something they did. You don't want to forgive some friend because of something they did. You don't want to forgive your boss at work. You don't want to forgive that coworker. You don't want to forgive your husband. You don't want to forgive your wife. You don't want to forgive the pastor. You don't want to forgive another Christian. Hey, can you forgive for Christ's sake and remember that God has forgiven you? There may be some little thing that you're not willing to forgive, and you're holding a grudge in your heart, and you're becoming bitter, and you're becoming upset, and your heart is filled with sinful things because of it, and you won't forgive. Why can't we forgive? Because God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. Hey, if we're walking in newness of life, we'll learn to forgive. We'll learn to forgive others. We'll forgive when we've been wronged. We'll forgive when we've been hurt. We'll forgive when injustices have been done. You see, there'll be a whole new attitude, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living if we're letting Christ change us and we're being made into His image. Turn with me back again just a few pages to the left, if you will, in your Bible. Look at Corinthians with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth," in other words, from this point on, "should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." The new life that God wants us to live means from this point on, we're not going to live for ourselves. We're going to live for the one who loved us so much that he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. Boy, before we get saved, I have no greater purpose than in living for myself. And people could say, well, I live for myself, I live for my family. You know, people live for money, people live for their career, people live for their work, people live for some of the things that they enjoy. When a person gets saved, things change. I have something now far greater than myself to live for. I have the Lord to live for. We have the Lord Jesus Christ that we can live for and give our hearts to and give our lives to. And we're to do that from henceforth, that we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new." Listen, are you walking in newness of life? If you're not walking in newness of life, maybe you need to search your heart. Have you been saved? Because things should change. The Spirit of God should come, and He will. If you get saved, the Spirit of God will come to live inside of you, and He'll be working on the inside to try to change you from the inside out. Are you walking in newness of life? Are you becoming a new creature? Are you letting God change you? Are you being made into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? Is your thinking changing? Is your perspective changing? Is your attitudes changing? Is your behavior changing? Is the way that you treat people, is it changing? It ought to change. We're to walk in newness of life. New way of thinking, new attitudes, new behaviors. We're to become a new man, a new person, a new creature. Look at just a couple other things with me this morning. 2 Corinthians, they're still in chapter 5. Let's continue on. He said in verse 17 that all things are become new. Go on to verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we get saved and we're walking in newness of life, there ought to be a new purpose for living. A new purpose for living. One of the things that God has given us to do is this ministry of reconciliation being talked about. It said there in that verse about how we are reconciled to God, not because of the things we've done. We're reconciled to God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, for, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith through Jesus Christ." I might not have quoted that exactly right, but we're justified and we have peace with God because of putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only way that, listen, I've got a sinful record. I'm a sinner. And the only way that I can be reconciled to a holy God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I've got a lot of sin on my record, I can't come over here and think, well, I'm going to do a whole bunch of good works and a whole bunch of good things. And if my good works outweigh my bad things, then, well, then God will be pleased and I'll be saved and that'll take care of everything. No, no matter what I do, no matter what good works I do to try to weigh the balance or weigh the scale in my favor, over on this side, I'd still have a lot of sin. I'd have a lot of marks on my record. Out of all the sins I'd ever committed since a child, and the sins that I will commit, and I'll sin on my record. Listen, the only way that I could be reconciled through God to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, that we can be forgiven of our sins. You know, the Bible teaches us great doctrines of how we're justified, our sins are taken away, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed onto our record instead. That's possible. Because of what Christ did. Again, that's how we're supposed to treat people. We've sinned against God. But God reconciled us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, when someone does wrong against you, you're not to hold it against them. You're to forgive them. You're to seek reconciliation. You're to seek to make things right with them. Not to hold it against them, not to be bitter, not to hold a grudge, not to be unforgiving. You're to demonstrate reconciliation to others. But can I also say this, in this ministry of reconciliation, in that new purpose for living, we're to tell everybody of what Christ has done. You know, this week, the Abears went out several times, and I got to go with Brother Aber a couple of times. My wife was out a couple of times this week. You know what we were essentially trying to do? Tell people of what Christ has done so they can be reconciled to God. Tell people of what God's Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross of Calvary so that people can have peace with God and be reconciled to God and have their sins forgiven. That's one of the great purposes for living now that you're saved. You know, if God wanted to just save you and make you perfectly like Christ and take you to heaven, he could just save you and kill you. That's the brutal, honest truth, isn't it? He could save you and kill you because you'll never be more like Jesus until you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, there will be a day where you will be made perfectly like him. But he leaves us here on this earth. Why? Because of this ministry of reconciliation. He says we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is someone that represents another country. They're from another country, but yet they're living in a different country other than their home country, other than their own, and they're representing. We have ambassadors that live in different countries and represent Canada. Listen, we're ambassadors of Christ. Our home is heaven. That's our home. That's our homeland. That's the home country that we're looking forward to going to one day. But while we live here on this earth, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're to represent Christ here in this world and here on the earth where we live. We ought to be sharing with others what Christ has done. Share with others how Christ, God's Son, died on the cross to make a way for them to be reconciled, make a way for them to be saved, make a way for their sins to be forgiven. You see, you and I are to have a new purpose for living now that we're saved. If we're walking in newness of life, listen, there ought to be new attitudes, new thinking, new behavior. You're to be a new person. You're to be a new creature. There ought to be a new purpose for living. That'd be the desire of your heart, and it'd be some actions in your life where you'd say, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm to have a part in the ministry of reconciliation. I'm to tell others about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for them as well, so they can be reconciled to God. We have a new purpose for living. Last thing I want to share with you here is this. We ought to have a new song in our heart. So turn back with me to the book of Psalms, if you would. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. We ought to have a new song in our heart. We sing a hymn sometimes in church. Some of the words go like this. I have a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. A song in my heart that I never had. You're to have a new song in your heart. You're to have a new song in your heart now that you're saved, now that you know the Lord. There ought to be different music in your life, a new song in your heart. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 3 says this, sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. You know what? You ought to sing some new songs. Before you got saved, the radio stations that maybe you'd have tuned into on your car, you know what? Those probably aren't the radio stations where you should be going to now that you're saved. Maybe there was a kind of music that you liked and your flesh enjoyed it before you got saved. But when you're saved, there ought to be some new music that you enjoy. There ought to be some new songs in your heart. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 3 says this. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hey, do you sing some new songs? Do you sing some songs about Jesus now? Do you sing some songs that even by the words of those songs and the testimony of those songs, it is something that could help point people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there songs that you would sing that would help people to know that, hey, you believe in the Lord and the Lord has made a difference in your life? Can you sing a song? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Hey, can you sing about the faithfulness of your God? Can you sing songs that are a testimony to what your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for you? Over to Psalm chapter 96 and verse 1. Listen, there ought to be new songs in your heart and new songs that you sing. Songs that praise God. Songs that bless God. Songs that are a testimony of what has changed in your life. Psalm 96 and verse 1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm chapter 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Over in Psalm chapter 144 and verse number 9, it says this, I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of ten strings will I sing praises unto Thee. Psalm 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. You know, you're in the congregation of saints this morning. We're a church congregation. We're a group of believers. We're the saints, as the Bible would call us. And you're here today in a congregation, and we have opportunities to sing songs. Hey, do you praise the Lord with your singing? Do you sing unto the Lord? Do you have a new song in your heart? Are you well able to sing the songs that we sing? Or for you, are you just not sure about them? You're just not sure maybe if they're really your testimony. Hey, I hope that you do know the Lord as your Savior, and I hope that you can sing in the congregation. And oh, you might not quite know all the words and know all the melodies of the songs, but it ought to be that if you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a believer in Him and a follower in Him, that, oh, you might not know it so well, but oh, you look at those words and oh, you want to sing them from your heart. Why? Because there's a new song inside of there. Something's changed inside of there. Do you have a new song in your heart? Oh, let the music that you sing, let the songs that you listen to, let the music in your life be music that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sing the song of fools. The Bible even refers to that there are the song or the songs of fools. We ought not to sing the music that the world would sing. Your music ought to be different. You know, music is powerful. So powerful. Music can greatly affect your mind and your attitudes and your thinking. You know, there was some times as a teenager where I worked in some restaurants. And I was in that environment. Can I tell you something? There are some songs that I heard being played. Not many, but I can think of a couple songs or maybe some workers that sang some songs. Not necessarily some very extremely wicked and rebellious rock music kind of songs with bad themes, but there are even just some goofy songs or silly songs or songs I'm not even sure what they meant, really, that I heard as a teenager. That on the rare occasion, maybe out of the blue, you know, just some little thing might come back in your mind. Listen, music is powerful. You need to make sure that you've got the right kind of music. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to the right kind of music. We try to have some Christian music CDs back here sometimes and different things. Listen to good music, gospel music, Christian music that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Sing a new song. If we're walking in newness of life, there ought to be a new song in your heart. New songs that you sing. New purpose for living. Realize you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Realize that, hey, there needs to be a new behavior. There needs to be a new attitude, a new way of thinking, a new way of forgiving, a new way of living, a new way of treating people. You need to ask yourself honestly, and I need to ask myself, am I walking in newness of life? Am I letting God change me and make me into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? Am I living the new life? Am I living the kind of life that would glorify and honor and please my Lord and Savior? I hope you'll want God to change you. I hope you'll want God to work in your life. Listen, the greatest life, the blessed life, is to live your life for the Lord. Live for Him. Live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him. The preacher yesterday at the men's activity shared a verse where God says, "Them that honor me will I honor." Listen, you honor the Lord in your life. You let God change your life. He'll honor that. He'll bless that. Let's decide to walk in newness of life. Let's yield to the Spirit of God who lives inside of you now that you're saved. And let Him change you. He's trying to mold you and make you into the image of Christ. You know what a mold is? You take some chocolate and mold it into something good. There you take a cake mix, right, and you put it in a type of pan. It's molded into that shape, right? God wants to shape us and mold us and make us to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to let Him. We can't be jumping out of the pan. We can't be saying, no, I don't want that kind of life. Let Him make you. Let him make us into what He wants us to be. Say, God, my life is Yours. If you understand that, you'll do that. Our life does belong to Him if we're saved. And we need to be willing to say, God, I want You to change me. I want You to make me. Whatever You want, Lord, my life is Yours. Mold me and make me into Your image. God forbid that I should just go live however I want. I want God's grace to change me and make me like Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,